Our gospel lesson this morning is from the Gospel of John, chapter 18, verses 33 to 37. This is the encounter of Jesus before Pilate in one of the Bible's most deftly crafted narratives. Jesus has been arrested. Jewish leaders wait outside, and Pilate moves back and forth between the Jewish leaders and Jesus, highlighting how Pilate is caught between the demands of those leaders and the innocence of Jesus. Amid this worldly political drama, Jesus asserts that his kingdom is not of this world. Here is the gospel of Jesus Christ, according to John. Then Pilate entered the headquarters again, summoned Jesus, and asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Do you ask this on your own, or did others tell you about me?" Pilate replied, "I am not a Jew, am I? Your own nation and the chief priests have handed you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not from this world. If my kingdom were from this world, my followers would be fighting to keep me from being handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not from here." Pilate asked him, "So are you a king?" Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. For this I was born, and for this I came into the world to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice." May we be blessed by the hearing of this good news. When I moved to Milwaukee a number of years ago, and this is honest, I don't make this stuff up. Sometimes people think these opening stories come out of a book, and this is true. I noticed that there were lots of Harleys here. I moved here in August in the warm season. And what I especially found unusual were the number of Harley riders who were, well, a bit older than I was used to seeing on motorcycles. Lots of largely middle-aged men and women with biker caps and leather chaps sometimes. Many of them I suspected going off to respectable jobs on Monday morning. I learned quickly, of course, of the Harley legend in this city, not being oriented to the motorcycle culture and discovering that indeed Milwaukee is the birthplace of Harley. Well, I never was drawn to the motorcycle culture much, be it Harley or any other brand name bike, and this likely doesn't surprise you. I like my Toyota just fine. I like its leather interior, its CD player, you know, its windows to the outside world, but not its direct encounter. Harleys, I think, are too loud, too massive, too hot in the summer and cold in the winter. They aren't very comfortable. And especially, they aren't safe. But then, no one rides a Harley because it's safe. No one rides a Harley because they need dependable transportation. You ride a Harley because you like the feel of power. You like fast machines. You like the raw feeling of having it out on the road, full throttle, with the best of Milwaukee engineering at your command, the feeling of the wind on your face, your body, your very body, an assault against the elements, daring the elements, taking command over the elements. You ride a Harley to experience power, to have an adventure, to encounter something that stretches you, that makes demands upon you. Riding a Harley at full speed, I can only imagine, is a direct encounter, a raw encounter with power. Nobody rides a Harley because it's safe. Well, today in the church we celebrate Christ the King Sunday. It's the last day of our liturgical year. It's a New Year's Eve of sorts. It's a day set aside in the church calendar so that we can focus on the source of divine power, a day when we end our worship year together and prepare for the year ahead. It's a day to experience the majesty of Christ and His power, of Christ and His church. And we get a hint of that power in today's lesson from the book of Revelation. Today's lesson is from the opening of that book, which is styled as a letter from John, and most likely not the same John as who wrote the Gospel of John. A letter from John to seven churches in Asia Minor who were suffering persecution at that point in history. The book of Revelation, of course, being the last book of the Bible, brings the canon to a close and expresses a consummation of God's judgment and salvation where God defeats all evil for all time. It presents itself as prophecy, but that it accurately predicts what literally will happen at the end time is, I think, as likely as the idea that Genesis, on the other end of Scripture, that Genesis accurately describes the literal, historical, and scientific beginning of creation. It's a poetic vision, a theological vision, of the ultimacy of Christ's reign, not so much a blueprint for the future. Revelation speaks of last things, of things of ultimate importance. So Christianity affirms there is a purpose to our life and all life, that ultimately God, good, will triumph. The apocalyptic vision of Revelation shows us that our God is a God of power. This morning's text describes Christ as coming from the clouds. I am the Alpha and the Omega, who is and was and is to come, the Almighty. Almighty. While Revelation paints all of this in cosmic terms, it's a sort of Star Wars of the Bible. In today's lesson from the Gospel of John, we see power and kingship from a different angle. In the discussion between Pilate and Jesus, in the back and forth between those two, we see the powerful political king confronting the man said to be the Messiah. Jesus, as we see, does not attempt to save himself and appears, from a human angle, appears at a loss for power. We know, of course, that he will go to the cross, a victim of both political and ecclesiastical power. So within his apparent human powerlessness against the civic and religious kingdoms of his day, Jesus paradoxically displays divine power, the greatest power of all. Indeed, as he says, his kingdom is not of this world. So here are two illustrations of divine power at work in Jesus. Later in Revelation, John envisions Christ coming through the clouds on a white horse in another display of majestic power. Of course, in the day of John's vision, a horse was the primary mode of transportation. If we were to write this apocalyptic vision for today, it wouldn't be so unlikely that Christ might come riding a Harley. And to imagine our gentle Jesus, to imagine our brother Jesus riding a Harley surprises us, perhaps. Why would the Son of God mount a dangerous, expensive, loud, and sometimes obnoxious machine to announce his coming? Well, the New Testament actually gives us many different and varying images of Christ. Yes, he was often gentle and mild. We see lots of that. But he also doubted. He was at times afraid. He even felt abandoned on the cross. And he got angry. He rebuked. He turned over the tables in the temple, remember? He made a whip even to drive out the sellers and money changers from that temple. This is not nice, gentle Jesus. So on at least a few occasions of which we have record, Jesus was loud and powerful in a muscular sort of way. This surprises us, perhaps it even offends us. because we prefer the simple, meek, and mild Jesus. In the 19th and 20th centuries, at the height of rationalism, liberal Christianity emphasized Jesus as teacher and example. So writes Anthony Robinson in the book, What's Theology Got to Do with It? Our men's ministry group at 6:30 in the morning on Wednesdays is taking up the study of this book with Steve. Anthony Robinson says that this Jesus had great appeal among the more highly educated and those who place a high value on reason and rationality. Robinson said, even more seriously, this model underestimates the power and depth of human sin. One critic diagnosed this weakness when he said, we need more than good advice, we need good news. We need more than good advice, we need good news. Now, Robinson does not say, and I don't suggest, that this is a false view of Jesus, only that it's a limited view of Jesus. Jesus is this, our master, teacher, and exemplar. But Jesus is also much more. I think we prefer this mild Jesus because this is the Jesus we can understand. This is the Jesus that we can control, we think, because he is like us. And being good 21st century moderns or postmoderns, take your pick, living in a highly technological culture that values control and mastery, we want a Jesus we can understand and categorize and hypothesize about. We want a God we can control. We deny that we want this. But I think more often than not, we do. And so we resist really giving ourselves over to Christ, our King, for to do so is to lose control. And yet when we resist the kingship of Christ, we also deny the power we could have as Christ's people and as Christ's church. He came with power and he told his community that they would have power, that they would do greater works than these, he said. And in Acts, we read about the early church. They continued Jesus' healings because they, too, were given the gift of healing. And I mean real healing. Peter brings Tabitha back from the dead. Lazarus is not the only character in the Bible revived from the dead. Elsewhere in Acts, they prayed for boldness. I love that. They prayed for boldness. For in the first century, they were bold. They had to be bold. Christianity was not the accepted religion of the empire quite yet. There wasn't a first congregational church of Wauwatosa or anywhere else to dress up to and to go to on Sunday morning. It was, to some degree, an underground church, a church that went up against the principalities and powers of its age. So they took seriously this Christ power they had because they were the church. And what has the church become in the 21st century? Are we here to help initiate the kingdom of God? Or are we here for our own comfort? How bold are we, really? And is Christ really our King? The human kings of history have subjugated others by force often. But Christ is not this kind of king. Christ waits quietly for an invitation. Another book at work in the church that your ministers are reading is titled Becoming a Blessed Church by Presbyterian minister N. Graham Standish. In this book, Standish says, make no mistake, many churches do not invite or incarnate Christ. They are more focused on maintaining denominational and congregational traditions than they are with letting Christ in. And Christ will not enter our churches uninvited. Christ will not enter our churches uninvited. Jesus may ride a Harley, but he keeps it parked outside the locked doors of our houses and churches and hearts. He requires our free will assent to let him in. Still another book we've been reading in the church was used in a class of the early morning women's ministry program at 6:30 in the morning. There's lots going on in the church at 6:30 on Wednesday mornings, it seems. The Second Beginnings curriculum, one based on spirituality, on developing what they call habits of the heart. And each morning the class watched a brief video as a discussion started. The video shows Rob Weber, a Methodist minister from Shreveport, Louisiana. In one lesson, Rob said he heard another minister tell this story. There was this motorcycle dealership that had the hottest rods around. A pastor decided to go in and check out a motorcycle. He had always sort of secretly wanted a motorcycle. So he went in and he looked around, and the salesman comes up to him. The salesman says, "Ah, that one's a beauty. That one will get rubber in all five gears. If you take this into town, people will hear you coming from a half mile away. If you get it out on the highway, it'll do 180. By the way," the salesman says, "what do you do for a living?" "I'm a pastor." "And did I tell you it gets great gas mileage too?" Rob continues, "When did Christianity become equated with something that is risk-free and calm? When did Christianity become equated with something that involved people who wanted to be safe and secure in their own lives, instead of willing to be the radical risk-takers that we're told about in the pages of the Bible? When did that happen?" When did that happen? I've quoted from a lot of different books in this sermon, books that various groups in the church are reading. This indicates, in part, that we're at work in the church, that there's something bubbling under the surface, something perhaps that has not quite yet found full expression. But it is coming, perhaps, maybe on a white horse, maybe on a Harley, or perhaps some other way. Our church is looking to its ultimate future in God, because this is the way a Christian church operates, with hope in the promise of the coming kingdom. So on this Christian New Year's Eve, on the eve of Advent, which begins next Sunday and at the beginning of our new worship year together, on this New Year's Eve, let's look expectantly toward the future. I hope this upcoming year will be a year of being open to transformation, of dropping the veil that sometimes surrounds us, of being more present to each other, of trusting in the power of Christ more often, of trusting in the power of God, of learning new ways to be church together and not just do church. We do church really well. We need to learn to be church better, I think. People should come to church not just to learn about God. And I say this perhaps as your teaching minister. People should come to church not just to learn about God, not just to speculate what all this stuff is about, though that's part of it. But moreover, people should come to church to experience God and to touch God's power directly, to be touched by God, to risk maybe getting on that Harley with Jesus, and maybe to at least take it for a quick little spin around the block or something. No one rides a Harley to be safe. What if people came to church and didn't worry so much about being safe? What if people came to church like they get on a Harley, willing to risk, wanting an adventure, willing to confront the elements of life? Where in your life, either here at church or in your personal life, where in your life are you needing God's power? Where in your life are you needing to step out a bit, risk a bit, trust God a bit? Where in your life, where in our lives, are we needing to open ourselves to the power of Him who we follow? Him whose life is a testament to the living God, not merely a God of history, but the God of our destiny. Where in our lives do we need to open ourselves to the power of Him who is our King? Where?